Welcome to the President's Circle Durant and Legacy Society's conference call with President Paula E. Johnson. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. I would like to now turn the call over to Dina Baranke Rashes, class of 1996. Dina, you may begin.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone, for joining us. I'm delighted to welcome you to the President's Circle conference call with President Paula A. Johnson. I'm thrilled at the role we as leadership donors play in the financial health of the college. And I am so proud to see our numbers growing. Gifts at this level have had a tremendous impact on the college. As of yesterday, June 10th, gifts of $10,000 or more accounted for 60% of the $48.2 million raised thus far this year. The college literally could not fulfill its mission without your generous support. The outstanding generosity of this assembled group, our President's Circle benefactors, speaks to your commitment to the importance of investing in women and a bright future for our alma mater. Please accept my sincere gratitude for your continued support of Wellesley. I now have the distinct pleasure and honor of introducing Wellesley's 14th president, Dr. Paula A. Johnson. Thank you, President Johnson, for joining us today.
Dina, thank you so much, and it's so wonderful to be here with all of you on the phone, and I want to also extend my great thanks and appreciation to you for all that you do for the college. You truly make a difference for the college and how we are able to run and how in many of the things that we are able to do. Including continue to be need-blind for our students. So I thought I'd just begin with a few updates from the college. We just finished reunion on Sunday, and it was truly an outstanding reunion of the fours and the nines. We had great fun. There was great celebration. We welcomed the new executive director to the Alumni Association, Catherine Harvey McIntosh, class of 2003, and I think she got a real taste of what it's like to run reunion from the activities. I wanted, again, to congratulate Karen Williamson, who class of 69, who was the Stack Poll awardee this year. We had a wonderful conversation with Madeleine Albright and Hillary Clinton in which, you know, they really enjoyed each other's company and were so thrilled to be in the presence of their Wellesley classmates and all of our Wellesley alumni. We also welcomed at reunion our new Vice President for Development, Mary Casey, and introduced her to the community. Mary started about a week ago here at the college, and she has a deep history in development, having spent many years at Wheaton College and then moved on to Boston Children's Hospital, where she was leading their capital campaign. Mary has a deep history in women's colleges. She's a graduate of Mount Holyoke and serves on their Alumni Association board. The week before, we had an outstanding commencement where we granted degrees to 560 seniors, where university professor at Brandeis, Anita Hill, was our commencement speaker. She talked about the Me Too movement as a bridge to policy and practice to eradicate gender violence, and she then passed the baton to the class of 2019, charging them to use their time and talent to engage in new movements. I think the person who stole the show was our student speaker, Kavindia Benkunoon, who is a first-generation student from Sri Lanka. She explained a Sri Lankan tradition of giving seven gifts at life's turning points, and among Kavindia's seven gifts to the class of 2019 was the gift of radically transforming our communities by speaking truth to power, and the gift of Lake Waban as a way to remember that Wellesley is always their home. It was a very, very moving speech, and how thrilled we are that we can call Kvindia ours. For the class of 2023, it's a very diverse class. We have students from 46 states and 34 countries. 51% are students of color, 22% are underrepresented minorities, 14% are international students, and 17% are first generation students. Without a doubt, the numbers in terms of our admissions and our selectivity, which continues to increase, are proof that Wellesley is playing a pivotal role in what I see as a transformational moment in women's education and in women's leadership. We were reaccredited. Well, I shouldn't say we were reaccredited. We haven't had the final letter sent to us. I can assure you we will be reaccredited, but we went through the reaccreditation process this year, which includes drafting a very in-depth self-study in which we take a look back at the past 10 years, really understand where we've moved forward, where there are opportunities. And then we have a site visit in March. It went very well. And we will be receiving hopefully the reaccreditation document in September. But as part of that process, the college really took another look at its values. And the values of our college really sit under our timeless mission statement to provide an excellent education for women who will make a difference in the world. And for quite a while, we've had values. They hadn't really been created by the community writ large. And we used this opportunity of reaccreditation to pull the community together and really recommit to a set of values that we believe will help to steer us moving forward. And we identified the following foundational values: intellectual discovery and excellence, gender equality, diversity, equity, and inclusion, connection and community, empowerment and social change, and integrity and academic freedom. Without a doubt, these values will be very helpful as we launch into strategic planning as we move into the summer. A word about inclusive excellence, a major priority on campus. We have been making progress towards this institutional goal, and we've been making progress from the core academic program to residential life. As I've said multiple times, we cannot be truly excellent until we fully embrace the diversity of our student body and the increasing diversity of our faculty. And we are working to fully realize a culture of inclusive excellence. Last June, Wellesley was awarded a $1 million Howard Hughes Medical Institute Inclusive Excellence Grant to catalyze the college's efforts to engage students in science or in STEM fields, regardless of backgrounds. And Wellesley is using this grant to develop inclusive pedagogy to advance curricular reforms and academic advising for the next 5 years. This group is also leading the charge, and we are finding new ways to also include our humanities and social science faculties as well. I can tell you I can't be more thrilled with the embracing of this goal by the campus community, and I'm truly excited about the direction that we're headed in, and I will surely keep you posted as we move forward. A few words about campus renewal and residential life in the Science Center. The college remains focused on renewing our magnificent campus and our iconic buildings, and this is a critical institutional priority and will be for years to come. We must continue to invest in and protect our campus, which has meant so much to so many of you, and we must do that in order to guarantee our future. So some of the work that's going on is truly transforming science at Wellesley with our renovations and new building on Science Hill. We are well on our way with this, what I think is probably the most ambitious renovation and building project that we will undertake for the foreseeable future. Wellesley has a very long leadership, history of leadership in science, for women, and we are so proud of this legacy, and our goal is to build on it. In the 1974 L-Wing, we've renovated the space to enhance modern scientific research and teaching, and we're in the final month of work at the L-Wing, and we will hold classes in this newly renovated lab this fall. For some of you, you might recall that it's the New Science Center. It's no longer the New Science Center, but it'll truly be renewed with some very exciting work that will happen in it. The sage wall that's juxtaposed to the L-Wing, for those of you who have been in the Science Center more recently, it's called the Focus. That wall will be retained, but the rest of the 1930s Sage building will be demolished this summer, and it will be replaced by a new teaching and learning space that will be light-filled and will encourage human interconnectedness and teamwork. And it's so fascinating because as our faculty and students have been emptying out Sage, they found all types of amazing artifacts for us to really keep as a historical journey of science at Wellesley. And I'll just share one of them that Professor John Cameron, who just retired, but he's staying on working with us to document some of the history by one of our earliest professors, Sarah Whiting, had read about Renton Jen, who is the founder of the X-ray. And it was very shortly after he founded the X-ray that she read about it, and she rigged her own X-ray machine, and we actually have this one of these earliest X-ray machines and some of the earliest X-rays done in the United States of America. And they have her handwriting on them. They are really just a tremendous gift. And this is just one example of some of the artifacts we've found. So at some point, I have a vision of potentially having a museum that documents the history of science and women at Wellesley, but it's truly just a remarkable gift. And it's very important for our students to understand our strength basically since our founding. The construction of the new science building will start later this summer. And as I said, the new Science Center will continue to position Wellesley as a leader in STEM education and, most importantly, give our students a unique and inspiring learning environment. We've also renovated the observatory dome for those of you who spent time there in astronomy, and we will be installing a new 0.7-meter plane wave telescope. We continue to be on the leading edge of astronomy research, and we now have a number of astrophysics majors, and it's truly, again, amazing to see. For the first time, Wellesley is committed to diversity goals for the building project, and we've exceeded these goals for hiring underrepresented minorities and women. And I can tell you it's so exciting for me to experience that extraordinary diversity of the workforce when I toured the site just about a week and a half ago. We also dedicated Global Flora for Dr. Mary White, class of 74. Global Flora is an innovative public greenhouse, and it's an environment for teaching environmental science that will have a number of microclimates, and it's already won the highly prestigious Lafarge Holcim Award for Sustainable Design. And I hope when you come to campus, you do get a chance to see it. Our faculty continue to innovate not only in the sciences, but in the humanities and the social sciences, and at the intersections of these disciplines. We continue to make critical improvements in the residence halls. The scope of this important work is broad and includes critical maintenance work like roof repairs, you know, things that aren't that much fun but are critical, and also quality of life upgrades such as bathrooms, furniture, and kitchens. And the gathering spaces, we've done a number of living room renovations. The Tower, Claflin, Severance Complex will be underway, not this summer, but next summer, so it'll be very exciting. And the para program is also undergoing a much-needed upgrade to the track and turf that will include the addition of lights and new throwing areas. So it's very exciting. We said goodbye to Bridget Belgiavini, our outgoing athletic director. We'll be welcoming our new athletic director, and it'll be exciting to have some new spaces. We're also, we've developed multi-year plans to address important needs such as elevator modernizations and ADA access throughout the campus. Sustainability has been, continued to be very important. I won't go into a lot of the decision-making that's gone on regarding our power plant, just to say that we will be rethinking, we have rethought the use of that plant, and it will only be used as a peaker plant, which means that at the peak uses of energy, we'll be running that plant. This will decrease our carbon footprint and will allow us to buy more green electricity from the town. In October, I announced a $24 million energy and sustainability initiative for the college that will help us reach our ultimate objective of carbon neutrality. And to that end, we've launched a working group called E2040. E2040 is a working group of the Board of Trustees that will build momentum and develop a longer-term plan to achieve carbon neutrality. Just to give you an example, we'll be doing a survey with a company this summer to really better understand the implications of the potential of geothermal energy on our campus over time. So on to just some other issues. You're probably following the national conversation on free speech, and you may have seen that Wellesley, our students and faculty, have voiced their opinions about issues ranging from gun violence to immigration, from the environment to the Me Too movement. And freedom of expression is central to our mission and more broadly to a liberal arts education. So without a doubt, active open debate really helps our students to grow intellectually and socially. And last year I named a task force on speech and inclusion that was charged with developing a set of recommendations for creating a campus environment that supports freedom of speech and intellectual challenge through thoughtful and respectful engagement. The recommendations, which I shared last month with the faculty, students, and staff, fell into several main categories and were felt to really, as we begin to implement them next fall, will really help to promote both speech and inclusion. The areas of focus will be academic freedom, making sure that our campus understands what academic freedom is beyond the faculty, addressing power differences and in conversation dynamics, how do we encourage more dialogue on campus, and how do we also engage students more actively in rigorous debates as we bring in outside speakers. So we'll be finalizing the recommendations and, as I said, implementing them in the fall. So in conclusion, Wellesley is strong, and we are really moving forward in all areas. It was really such a pleasure to share with you some of the areas of focus right now. As I said, we're going to be launching into strategic planning, and we'll be determining how we engage our alumni community in that process. So more to come. So thank you so much. So I'm happy to take questions.
At this time, we will conduct the question and answer session. As mentioned earlier, due to the time constraints, we will be limiting questions to one per person, and we thank you in advance for your understanding. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone now, and you will be placed in the queue in the order received. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press star 2. We are now ready to begin. We'll take our first question from Domna Stan, 1960.
Good afternoon. Thank you. President Johnson, thank you so much for that presentation. Just a couple of comments. You clearly emphasized the sciences a great deal. As a humanist, I was eager to also to hear something about work or innovations in the area of the humanities, not to mention the areas in which the humanities and the sciences overlap, for example, in medical humanities and environmental humanities, and then the overlap of the humanities and social sciences, in particular in human rights. And I welcome the work on academic freedom, which is under assault worldwide, as we all know. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Donna. And without a doubt, and I did add, I'd only had a certain amount of time, so I wanted to focus on some areas where we were doing significant building projects. But without a doubt, we are innovating in the humanities, and as you said, at the intersections of the humanities, sciences, and social sciences. So one area in very specific I can share with you is, for example, in computer science, neuroscience, cognitive and linguistic science, and philosophy, as well as economics, we're really focused on how we as a small liberal arts college really think about the increasing area of artificial intelligence. So we are not the engineers, and we believe that our very specific gift in these areas is to be able to innovate at those intersections, do it nimbly, and do it with authority, given our strength in the humanities and in the social sciences, if you think about areas such as behavioral economics. So that is just one area. I would say that in philosophy, we are growing. The classes are actually oversubscribed. It's an extremely strong department. And, you know, there are a number of areas, as you've heard a lot about the quote-unquote crisis in the humanities. I would say at Wellesley, there is not a crisis. And at Wellesley, we are far more balanced than we ever were. So, yes, there's been an increasing interest in science, but that is because there had been a relatively small interest in the past, compared to the humanities and social sciences. So today, these numbers are going to add up to greater than 100 because there are so many double majors. We have about 37% STEM majors, about 36% social sciences, and about 33% humanities. So a very nice spread across the areas. And I would say that in the humanities and some of the more traditional fields, we're doing some very interesting things. One of our professors is a Wellesley alumna, Sarah Wall Randall, has created a fantastic summer, our first online full credit course for Wellesley students. We've been a member of edX for quite a long time, but this is a full credit online course given in the summer. And last summer she gave it. It was on Elizabeth I. This is not necessarily a tremendously popular area at Wellesley. But what was fascinating is that in the way that she taught it online, allowing students to work during the day but have robust, rich discussion and reading in the evening, there was a tremendous diversity of students who came to that course and who afterwards, without a doubt, stated they wanted to take more English. So we're also innovating. We've got the digital humanities. We're also innovating in how we interest a whole new generation of students in a very exciting way in the humanities. I'll take the next
question. We will take our next question from Mary Norton from class of 1954. Go ahead.
Hi, Paula. Thank you again for a wonderful reunion weekend. It was just fantastic. I had one question about an email I received from a woman who graduated 5 years ago about an unhappiness with the hiring of the people who were doing all the work at the campus because they were not union people. Was that a scam email?
There was actually one of our alums. I don't know her name, but she did actually create a bit of a protest online, and they were actually on campus. She brought protesters onto campus, and she is part of an organization that actually really fronts unions. So she was there in her job, but also as an alum, and it was quite unfortunate. They targeted a number of our events. And the issue is that we do actually have, in our science project, we've had an open shop. We've actually had over 50% union workers on campus. But we have really focused on fair wages as well as the diversity of our workforce. So we are very proud of the way that we've carried on the business. And I'm also very proud of the fact that I've had to steward every dollar at Wellesley in the most in the most careful way to make sure that we are not only, yes, being fair and living up to our standards, but also creating the best opportunities for our campus and the best financial sustainability that we can moving forward. So we moved through it, we made it through, and if you want to go on the website, there are actual statistics on the website that you can look that actually give the facts. The campaign that was on campus did not have accurate data at all, but we've been very transparent with our community. We haven't hidden anything, and all the statistics are online.
We will take our next question from Claudine Malone from class of 1963. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Paula. It's Claudie.
Hi, Claudie. How are you?
I am doing well, thank you, and I greatly appreciate your taking the time to bring us up to date. During your remarks, you made a comment that said, this is a transformational time in women's education.
Yes.
I think I wrote that down correctly. And I wondered what you meant by that.
Well, Claudie, I truly believe that this is a very troubling moment in time. I think we are seeing the rise of authoritarianism around the world. And I think there are many other things. And this isn't being political. This is, I think, just being an observer of what is happening in our world. And I think that it is very clear historically that when women lead, when there are more women engaged, that there's a more fair and just world. And I think there's never, to me, this is this moment in time where it is critical to educate young women to be strong, to be fully educated, to be really skilled in the way that they communicate, and to really have those ethics and values that we so deeply believe in at Wellesley. So when I say that, I think that there is this opportunity. There's a current opportunity for leadership to step up, and I think there's an opportunity for our young people as they leave and find their voices.
As a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. And at this time, there are no further phone questions.
President Johnson, I would just like to thank you for taking time to share an update from the college today. I'd also like to thank the participants on the call who joined us. We thank you for your interest and for your continued generosity to the college.
And I'd like to just end by saying thank you to Dina. Dina, you have been an extraordinary leader of our group, of the Durant Society, and I think you've set a new standard for leadership. So thank you for all that you've given, and I know you will continue to give us in terms of leadership.
It's been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
If participants have any further questions, you may contact the development office at 1-800-358-3543. Again, that number is 1-800-358-3543.